Hi, I'm Chris Ippolito, and welcome to the Get Coached podcast, where I'm documenting my journey from employee to entrepreneur while featuring the coaches that are helping me along the way. Each episode, these coaches provide actionable advice to help me and you, the audience, find more success as entrepreneurs. I invite you to join the journey so we can go and grow together. Welcome to another episode of the Get Coached podcast. In this episode, I sat down with Mike Young, who is an author, podcast host, and seasoned entrepreneur, and is known as the Makeover Master. Mike and I talked about how when entrepreneurs find themselves struggling, that's the time to work on the foundational skills of success. Please enjoy this conversation with Mike Young. Hi, Mike.
Chris, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on today, man.
You're welcome. And welcome to the Get Coach podcast. Glad to have you on. Excited to talk about our topic. But before really getting into that, I'd love if you could share some background of yours as far as your personal journey of where you were and how you came to be where you're at now.
Yeah, man. I think for me, I was like a lot of entrepreneurs. I wanted the dream, you know, I wanted money to arrive in my bank account somehow and really spend the majority of my time with my family and friends and traveling a little bit. And I thought it was going to be a fairly easy transition from, I ran a company, a mortgage company in the early 2000s. And we had 10 offices, 250 employees. And I thought, hey, making the switch to entrepreneurship is going to be easy because I wanted to do it by myself. I wanted to do it with a very small team. And it was much harder than I ever imagined. So it was a long journey for me. You know, I started, I think like a lot of people do, I started taking online courses and reading books and how do I build all this business stuff at home with a small team and actually just create kind of that dream job that you love to do. And I was also stubborn as hell. So I was relentless on, it's gotta be this certain way. It's gotta be, you know, not so many emails and not so many sales calls. And I wanted like that perfect kind of life. And before I knew it, I was 8.5 years into entrepreneurship and a couple $100,000 invested into courses and seminars and events and books and all this stuff, software, and shaking my head because my business still wasn't working. Sure. And I couldn't figure out why. I was extremely frustrated and stuck and depressed and all those things. And then I did what your podcast says to do. I actually just picked up the phone, said, I need some help. I can't figure out certain aspects of my business. And I got coached and mentored by a couple of key individuals that helped kind of connect all those dots for me. And I learned everything. I learned how to tie everything together and turn everything around in 18 months, what I hadn't been able to do in almost a decade on my own.
Crazy. Yeah. It just really shows you the value of it, of having somebody who's been on that journey. Cause I'm assuming that's who you ended up reaching out to, right? Was people that have created the results that you were looking for.
It was such a weird thing because I think I was the guy that wouldn't stop at the gas station to ask for directions. Right. It was like, I don't think it was ego. I think it was maybe like pride or something. I just didn't want to like ask for help. And I think maybe that's kind of conditioned in upbringings and stuff. You know, guys don't cry. They don't ask for help. They don't, you know, they support their family, whatever it is. And I literally just made a comment to somebody that I was following and just said, I'm frustrated. I'm stuck. I feel like it's not working. And he said, would you like some help? And that's where it started for me, is just asking for help opened up kind of Pandora's box.
It's such an interesting aspect of men, I guess, in a sense, like you said. I think that's such a common thing. I went through it for a long time myself personally, and I've actually seen a lot of my friends go through it, where there's this weird reluctance of asking for help, because maybe there's like this perception or stigma that asking for help means weakness. But
right.
So what, like when you got to that point, was what prompted you to want to ask? Well, I guess what was the inside shift, right? Like what allowed you to finally just say, okay, this might have been the behavior I had for almost 10 years, but all of a sudden, obviously something changed. So what was it?
Yeah, you know, I think like Tony Robbins says, you know, we only really change out of places of tremendous pain or tremendous pleasure. You know, like you're so passionate about going after something, or you're in pain. I was in pain, and I couldn't figure out why the business wasn't working. I couldn't connect certain dots. The shift for me was when I stopped looking outward and I began looking inward. I started reading books by Brené Brown and like Dr. Phil and really began like, why, what's holding me back? And so I started a lot of personal development stuff and really digging into my own psychology, my own mindset. And Garrett White's book, he has a book called Warrior Book. Right. That was a huge moment for me. I was in enough pain that I was still working at 2 a.m. trying to figure out how to put my funnel together and my marketing and my advertising, and ran across Garrett White's book, read that book, and that really was a game changer for me, because the book shouldn't be called Warrior Book. It should be called How Men Can Process Their Feelings and Emotions and Deal with Them. But he would never sell any copies if he said that. So
yeah, Warrior is a little bit of a catchier title.
And so, but that was the shift. I began realizing I had tremendous mindset and shame issues around my mortgage company loss. I had some shame and mindset issues around my first entrepreneurial experience. I borrowed investor money to get a project to take off, and quickly ran that into the ground in 5 months or less. And those two things created this internal dialogue that I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not worthy. And what that was I was taking all these courses and books, and that was just my drug of choice. It was maybe healthier than heroin, and I was building a lot of knowledge, but I wasn't building the right knowledge in the right way. And what I mean by that is, like, for example, I'd go to seminars and events, but I wouldn't network. Mm. And the power of business and the power of running an online business is all about the people. It's all about the relationships. And so I was kind of doing the same thing I see a lot of people doing today, which is they're looking outside for the tools and the widgets and the automation and all this stuff. And they forget one very simple thing, which is all business comes through people.
Right.
And so once I was able to kind of crack that code, I hired a mindset guy, I hired a copywriting marketing guy, and I had direct mentorship from those two people. And like I said, I learned like quickly within 18 months, I'd done more than the previous decade combined.
That's so crazy. And something you said there that I think really, well, it really resonated with me was the statement of your drug of choice. Mm. 'Cause I think drug of choice, vice, whatever you want to refer it to, but I've gone through my own personal journey of that. And for me, for a long, 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 long time, it was video games. That was my outlet. And as much as I used to defend, you know, like the hobby of video games, the problem arises when it's no longer much of a hobby and it's becoming like a full-time job outside of your full-time job.
You know, I think in today's environment, obviously when we're recording this, coronavirus is, you know, this global pandemic that everybody's experiencing. You quickly see how scared and vulnerable human beings are.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I was at the store and somebody coughed behind me, and all of a sudden I'm not a fearful person, but I'm looking behind me like, who coughed behind me, man? You know? And what I think, you know, when it comes to drug of choice or escapism and those types of things, is we all are basically, that's what we're doing. We're trying to escape the fact that we know that we're going to die, that we know that we don't have control over very much. And so we seek things that we can control.
Right.
Whether it's video games or Netflix or for some people, drugs, we're trying to escape our reality. For me, I was trying to escape the fact that my business was not working. It wasn't a real business at the time. And I felt like if I read more books or take more courses, I'm fixing that. I'm fixing the business.
I feel like I'm kind of in that position right now too. And I'm mindful of it. So I make sure that it's like, okay, am I reading right now because it's a good daily habit, or am I reading because I'm avoiding work?
100%. And I think crossing over to the other side has been super interesting the last few years for me, because it's almost all internal. It's almost all in between your ears. You see these things like, oh, it's just this funnel. It's an ad to cold traffic with a lead magnet and a tripwire and a core offer or whatever you want to see. And you see this little 5-step funnel and it looks so easy. And it is that easy. But if you're not in alignment with what you're selling and you're not in alignment with yourself and your skills and your team and your budget and all these things, that out of alignment issue is a lot of times what's holding people back from just doing the real work that's required.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very true. Earlier you had mentioned something basically as far as like people, almost like the fear that's instilled during this current situation. And I think part of it is the normalcy of life has been obviously gone haywire. So now people, rather than having to go to work Monday through Friday 9 to 5 or whatever their hours are now stuck at home in this new environment that they've never worked at. Or maybe they're not working and they're finding themselves with all this extra time on their hands and they've never been in that position. And so what I've noticed and seen a lot more on social media recently is like, so bored at home during quarantine, don't know what to do. I guess I'll just watch another movie or binge watch another TV show. And I'm kind of like, well, I mean, obviously that's their decision and what they want to do. But like for me, it was like, okay, well, what would I end up doing? And I was like, well, I think what I would probably do is end up reading and doing more courses and stuff like that. So I'm fortunate enough that I recently took on a full-time position. So and I've been able to do it remotely, which has been nice. So it's given me like for 40 hours a week, I know what I'm doing and I have those responsibilities. But then I was like, but I started the podcast and I really want to grow this and I want to grow a side business. It's like, well, I guess I got to like at least 1 to 2 hours a day to still invest in that. It's just interesting how people's minds, I suppose it's almost like the strength of their character gets tested in something like this. Not saying the people that aren't doing more than just watching Netflix have bad character, but it's like, I don't know if they know what they're doing in a sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And we're experiencing a global pattern interrupt. And when humans, all of us, we crave routines and patterns. And like, I wake up, I have my coffee, I go to work, I do this, because that is an element of, I know what's going to happen. Because when I don't know what's going to happen, this is why people don't like change. When I don't know what's going to happen, that means unknown, which we kind of revert back to caveman and lizard brain thinking, which is, if it's unknown, that means I might die. Right. And so we don't like change. We don't like our patterns to be interrupted. And now globally, everybody's being forced to have a pattern interrupt. Your kids are at home. My kids are at home. You know, a lot of people that I feel blessed today that I had 15 years and I put in 3 or 4 years directly on my mindset, because it hasn't thrown me hardly off my game at all. I'm seeing only a lot of opportunity to help more people in today's environment.
Yeah.
But I'm quickly seeing how disruptive this has been for a lot of people. And you're going to see businesses emerge that are weak, that have weak foundations. You're going to see people that have weak mindset foundations emerge. And And it's really an opportunity in my mind to help those people out.
Yeah, very well said. Better than I said it. Something you said there, though, I wanna really expand on, because that was kind of what we wanted to chat about, was the foundations and how something like this, the COVID-19 pandemic, like it, not necessarily another pandemic, but any sort of larger crisis, really tests your foundational skills, your foundational mindset. So what would be, I guess, on that topic, like what are some of the things that you would suggest people really look at and or explore to help them make sure they've got a strong foundation?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there that you said. So my main role is I'm a business strategist and a brand strategist, really. And then I have a design team that we after we get the business working, we help make it pretty. And when I went through that phase of all the books and courses and knowledge and all that stuff, now I'm actually grateful now. For a long time, I was beating myself up over, like, man, I must really be dumb. If I've read 1,000 books and gone out to all these things, I must be the dumbest person on earth because I can't seem to get it and figure it out. But what has happened for me now is that I see all the different ways to try things, because I tried almost all the ways. And so now I can look at a person's situation. I know exactly where they're at. I can listen to their words and what they're in alignment with, and I can develop a strategy that taps into who they are. And so that way they don't have to change themselves as a person. They just have to, you need the strategy to tap into who they are as a person instead of the other way around, which is what most people do. They have a strategy that's sold to the masses and they can't figure out why it's not working for them.
Right.
And what I mean by that is if I told you as part of your strategy, Chris, that you have to start a podcast today and you're deathly afraid of your voice on a microphone, that strategy is not going to work for you.
Yeah.
And to get back to get circle back around to the root of the question is I would go back to things I can directly control. And so you can control when you sleep, you can control what you put in your body, you can control your exercise. And the first thing that you need to do is build a pattern that works for you that you can repeat. Because if you do what most people do, what I did for a long time, and you say, okay, I'm going to call 100 people a day and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, you crash and burn very, very quickly. So it doesn't matter if you're even into your 40s like I am, you might have another 40 years. And so you need to realize this is still a long game for you. So what you need is the daily routine and patterned habits that are going to yield the results that you want. You could do 100 sit-ups today and you're not going to have six-pack abs, but if you do 10 a day for the next 100 days, you're going to start to get ripped.
Yeah.
And so that's the first thing, is control how you structure your day. And then the second thing I would say is you need to start to remember the basics of business. If you're running a business online or at home or whatever, the very basics are that there's a problem that exists that you solve for an exchange in money. And somehow along the way, people think that entrepreneurship or running a small business also means you need to invent something and become an inventor. And that's a micro percentage of people that have success with inventions. Mm-hmm. There's not too many new Facebooks or new Twitters or whatever that come out in the world. You don't need to invent something. You need to find a problem that exists in the world today that people are paying for a solution to that problem, and then build your business or your brand around something that gives you energy.
Right. Yeah. I like a couple of things you said there that really resonate is, the key one was life is like, it's a long game, right? So doing those small activities, which really form habits, right? So having those good habits and being able to execute on those habits consistently has a compound effect over time. And for myself personally, and I don't know if there's specific habits or routines that you kind of coach on or suggest, but things like journaling, meditation, exercise, obviously reading, like those tend to be some pretty common ones with success coaches or really anybody who's talking about success. But I remember there was like a couple months, I was actually about 6 months ago when my son was born. I just found it really hard to fit that in as well as I used to. And I noticed it mentally, physically, emotionally, like I just wasn't at that same level. Yeah. But because I was able to have that habit for, it was pretty solid for like two, almost 3 years. The dip in it, I guess, in a sense, like if you look at the stock market, this is a good analogy. Like I had a dip, but it wasn't like a complete crash like the markets are going through right now. And I feel like I was able to recover. I started really kind of forming those habits back up again 2 months ago, and I feel much, much better. So
yeah. And if you think about like even going and one more layer back, which is something that most people struggle with, to be honest, is why am I doing any of this? Like, what's the result I'm going for? What do I want? And when you ask people, like, what are you trying to do? And they can't answer that, it's extremely frustrating for them. And I get it. But it's like, what am I trying to accomplish? And then like a good book for your audience is Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah.
And what am I trying to accomplish? Okay, I want to be healthy. I want to have energy. I want to have time with my kids and my family. I want to have clients show up. So I want leads. And then you look at what you want and you say, okay, how do I organize myself and my day to build patterns and habits that the results from those patterns and habits are going to yield what I actually want here. And so, okay, well, I need to journal in the morning and meditate, like you said. I need to do a little bit of yoga and some stretching. And then when I'm done with that, I'm going to hang out with my kids and have breakfast. And then, okay, I got an hour that I'm going to prospect. I got an hour I'm going to spend time in Facebook groups. I've got 2 hours I'm going to do some design work, you know, and once you kind of, and it's hard because the only way to find out your perfect day is through action. So you can't theorize around a lot of this stuff because you have to take action and find out, okay, well, it turns out that prospecting 100 people a day, I get burned out and it drags my energy and I can't sustain that. So maybe it needs to be 20, maybe it needs to be 10. But what most people do is they do 100 or nothing.
Yeah.
So they go, I'm doing 100, and they do it for 3 days. They get some business and then they crash. So I think step one, get very clear on what you want and how are you going to pattern your day. Step two, if you're running a business, is what's the problem you're solving and how are you solving it and what's the money exchange for it?
Right. And I find, because myself personally, and I've talked to a lot of people as far as if they're like in an entrepreneurial spirit and are struggling with figuring out a business, is that determining what they want, like, why is that so difficult for some people? And was it difficult for you when you kind of got to that point of trying to figure it out? And like, why? I don't understand that. You'd think that would be really easy for us to figure out, what do I actually want? But we struggle with it.
It's because you can't theorize around it. You have to take action and try a whole bunch of stuff. And so I equate it to going to an ice cream store and there's 31 flavors. You got to kind of taste all of them to say, gosh, I really don't like bubble gum, but that chocolate one tastes pretty good, whatever it is. There's a stage in the business where you got to try all the flavors. And the lucky ones, I think, they fall in love with chocolate on their second or third try. And they're just like, I don't have to even try the rest because I know what I want. For me, I tried 3,100 flavors, you know? And so I was just like, you know, and I think that's the gap, is how quickly can you try all the different iterations to find out what fulfills you. What makes you feel good? What, you know, and then structure the business in a way to where everything makes you feel good. Like I don't today, when I prospect or I'm generating new business, that's something that usually drags people's energy down. It doesn't drag my energy down because I found a way that it makes me feel good. And we do a lot of our lead generation. We do a lot of complimentary social media and business reviews. We look at people's website and we poke out things that are costing them money. And that made me feel good. when I constantly announce to the market, if you'd like a free 5-minute review, we'll do it for you. We'll do a video. We'll look at what the gaps are. Now I wasn't asking new prospects for anything I was giving. And right. So that was a turning point for me because I was always reluctant to pick up the phone call and interrupt people's day or whatever. But when I flipped it to, I'm giving you 5 minutes of expert advice and showing you things that are costing your business money, I felt good about it. So I have no problem doing 10, 15, 20 of those a day.
That's a really good idea. I actually tried that out for a little bit, didn't stick with it. Which I mean, goes to a bit of our conversation already. Yeah. And I did enjoy it actually. I kind of just more, it was in the early phases of when I was just reaching out to people for actually guests on the podcast, but the initial business I was trying to start was more of like a digital marketing funnel design. And I recorded a couple videos just, hey, like, here's my thoughts. Here's my feedback on your pages and this and that, and how you might be able to improve it, and just sent it out. But I didn't really have a very defined process around it.
It's so fascinating to me now. I was talking yesterday with a buddy of mine who runs an agency, and he said, I'm thinking about doing this thing. And then he kind of paused and hesitated, and you could hear his voice drop. You could hear him almost excel or, and I was like, right there is the moment your body and your mind is telling you, you don't want to do this thing, but we don't listen to it. And so, you know, like for people that are watching this, not watching the video, listening to the audio, I've got this sign behind me my wife put up, but it just says, do more of what makes you happy. Because that is literally how simple it is if it raises your energy level and you feel good, keep doing more of it. If right. you find that it's dragging your energy, And we had a friend of ours that was thinking about getting back together with her ex-boyfriend, right? And she's like, I don't know what to do. And we both looked at her and just like, we already know.
Yeah.
You know what the answer is right now. Your body language, your energy is already getting dragged with the thought of getting back together with this guy. But so many times we don't listen to that. And so we do the opposite. And then we end up a year later and we wonder why we're extremely frustrated.
So what would be your advice in that situation where the body reacts in that negative way? So I'll use the example. It's such a cliche example, but sales calls or that type of activity that a lot of people have reluctance on. But it's almost like it's a necessary aspect of whatever the business is. So what would be the advice there is just do as much as you can. Or would it be a different piece of advice?
I would say the ultimate goal for everybody is to only do things that you love doing. And so if it's a necessary component of the business, either figure out how to do it in a way that doesn't drag your energy or delegate it. And so, you know, prospecting doesn't have to be done by you. Sales calls don't have to be done by you. Like if I take my unique ability is really around strategy. I don't design websites, but I know how they work and how to design them, but I don't do it. I have a team for that. I don't do a lot of certain other aspects of my business because they just don't make me feel good. I don't deal with the finances. I don't, you know, there's lots of things I delegate away, and I'm trying to spend the majority of my time on things that I just feel good about. Podcast is one of those things. I love just talking to people, having conversations and sharing different things that work and didn't work for me. Right. And hopefully somebody out there gets a little bit of insight from these conversations.
Yeah. I feel like I've got so many more questions now because of the, like you said, that what you excel at, you've said it a couple of times, is the strategy side. And I feel like that's where that's a big strength of mine as well. Cause I think that's why I like reading so many books, is I get to see all these different people's perspectives. Then I start connecting the dots in different ways that it could work. So when you were first starting out there, what did you do with those other aspects of the business that, like I said, were necessary? Because when my situation, a lot of people's situation, if you're just starting out your business or your entrepreneurial journey, you might not have the resources or the capability of delegation. So what did you do at the beginning?
You get creative in the beginning. And unfortunately, in the beginning, you have to do a lot of these things. You have to kind of sort your way out of it. So like, I guess what I mean by that is I tried 50 businesses between 2008 and 2014. We tried 50 different things. 47 of them flopped. And that was part of my story. I just started getting fascinated with why did these three do really well and why did these 47 flop? And so in the beginning, it is a combination of 9 different factors, but it's things like your skill set, your knowledge, your team, your money, your reserves. And my issue in the beginning was always around cash flow and reserves. And so if you either have to do it yourself or you have to get creative and partner with people that can do certain things. So like we started doing all these logos for people on the agency side of things. So I would find things that I needed my Google Analytics and Facebook Pixel set up and I didn't know how to do it. So I'd find somebody that knew how to do that had a crappy logo and say, hey, could I do a logo for you for free? Will you help set up this stuff? So we did a lot of bartering.
Right. Trading services.
That's
smart.
I had an event in Cabo where I was going to speak to a couple hundred entrepreneurs. I didn't feel like my speaking, as far as presenting for an hour and a half, because it was a long gig for me. I didn't feel like I kind of knew how I was going to tie the whole thing together and make it entertaining to listen to my voice for an hour and a half. So I hired a professional speaking coach, Ariane DeMello, and we did her entire website and her brand for her in exchange for her to coach me through how to become a more effective speaker.
Hmm. So basically is look at the areas where I'm going to use myself as the example, areas where I need support, go find somebody who does that. And help them out in the strengths that I have and do an exchange of services.
100%. It's like, it's totally old school. It's trading dental work for beaver pelts. You know, it's just like, there's the thing that people sometimes, I think, forget is there's 7.5 billion of us on this planet. And the numbers are so astronomical that sometimes you forget that. I guarantee you, if you needed a website to be done, I guarantee you somewhere in the world, there's a website developer right now that's looking to build his skills, that's willing to do it for free in exchange for somebody that might show him how to start a podcast or something like that. And so it's just about connecting those dots, and we can very quickly in 2 or 3 connections really get in front of anybody in the world. You know, meaning I know my friend Larry, I knows Michael Jordan directly. Michael Jordan knows almost everybody. And so you can very quickly connect the dots. It comes back to that first thing we talked about, which is you got to know what you want.
Right.
Got it. Because if I'm going to reach out to you, Chris, and say, hey, I would like some help with something, I don't think maybe you're not the right person, but we're friends, right? So we're friends. This is exactly what I'm looking for. If you're concise in what you're looking for, within about 2 or 3 connections, you'll get an answer.
Yeah, I like that advice a lot because it connects to marketing, right? Like if you're going to start a business and you want to do any proper marketing, you typically want to be very specific with who you're trying to help, right? So it just really connects the dots for me as far as like, okay, well, what is it that I need help? Like I'll share with you one thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know somebody. One of the things that I really struggle with because I just don't understand how to leverage it is Instagram. Mm. And I know it's a great platform to try and help promote the podcast and such. And I've listened to like Gary Vaynerchuk and a bunch of other people say, oh, you just got to do this, this, and this, and this. And I'm just like, I still can't wrap my head around how to do it, the execution of it, how do you actually create all this micro content in an efficient amount of time versus like sitting there for hours and hours and hours and hours.
Yeah,
splicing it up, right?
I think a lot of times too is the answer is exactly what you said, getting specific. And so there's a transition point in entrepreneurship where you're taking all the 31 flavors and reading all the books and taking all the courses. But at some point you got to flip it on its head and decide, and you got to say, this is the one specific problem. This is the one specific solution. This is how I'm going to market it. And when you get very specific on the one thing that you're doing, then a lot of that other stuff becomes very clear. Right. But in the beginning, you're just the short answer is you're just, we all are doing too many things. And I think the other question to keep asking yourself is why, you know, like sometimes I run into clients, they're like, I've got to create all this content. And I'm like, well, why?
Yeah.
And then I get down to ask enough whys, and I get down to the fact that it's like, I really want money to show up in my bank account, and I want to run a real business. Okay. Yeah. Well, would it be cool if I show you a way to do that without creating 6 hours and 64 pieces of content a day?
Yeah.
And then maybe, you know, maybe that person does want all that content, but usually that's not actually what they want. And so it's like, what are we actually trying to accomplish? And what's the most, we're hardwired this way. What's the most efficient way and the easiest way? We're really lazy creatures. So get clear on what you want, get clear on how to get that in the most efficient way.
Right. Yeah. It's, our brains are hardwired. Like that's why we got to where we're at as far as evolution. Our brains are programmed to always look for the path of least resistance. What's the shortcut? And I mean, that's what makes us such incredible beings, right? Like that's why we were able to, well, get to where we're at. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And it's interesting too, because I've never had a client come to me and they say, you know what, I really want to learn how to leverage Instagram to do this. Like that's never their end objective.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, why? And it's like, and then you get down to it and you find out, well, I really just want more eyeballs on this.
Yeah.
So that I can get more people to buy from me.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, let's find out the most efficient way for you that taps into how you're already wired.
Yeah. And that's, that's it right there. Obviously is like the whole idea being I'm looking to grow the podcast to a certain level, which then allows it to potentially turn into a business, because with a large enough audience, then I can source information from them. Like, what do you want? What can I create for you guys that you actually want? What, how can I add even more value? And so begins the potential of the business, right?
And so like, and this comes back to the point of your podcast is I would say, who's already done it?
Mm.
You know, if that's what I want, I would say, okay, well, I know that Pat Flynn's done it with Smart Passive Income. I know that Zachary Babcock's done it with Underdog Empowerment, and they both have courses and they both teach you like this. These are ways I grow it. This is how I schedule my time and all these things. I know my buddy Travis Chappell has a done for you service where they do all of it for you. It's more expensive because it's done for you.
Yeah.
And so again, you can really quickly start to narrow down your options by just like, as an example, you pick up the phone, you call me and you're like, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to grow my podcast audience so I can build a business around it. Who do you know? And right there are three answers.
Right.
And you can start to have your own relationships. And the reason people don't want to interrupt people's day and prospect and those things is really comes down to that. They don't want to interrupt people and be needy and ask for things for them. But if you call, I guarantee if you call any one of those guys and you just said, Hey Zach, I know that you know Mike and he says that you've grown your podcast and you've got a little course or whatever. Would it be cool if we hop on a little 5-10 minute chat and I just ask you if and see if that's right for me?
Right.
You know, there's not a person in the world that's going to turn down an initial meeting when you're asking to give them money.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I wouldn't. Yeah. I've actually been following Zach for a little while. I came across him on TikTok actually. Mm. And I'm pretty sure that's where it was. And I really enjoyed his content because TikTok it's a bit of a unique platform as far as it's still growing quite a bit. And there's now a much more mature audience that is starting to create content there. A lot of that has to do with Gary Vaynerchuk and how much he pumps it as far as a platform. But I think what I really liked about it was like these short little 1 minute or less clips of actionable advice.
Yeah.
It's the content that I enjoy. So I was just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I'm subscribed to his newsletter and I kind of read it time to time. And like, oh, he mentions actually a couple tools that I've like, that it's good to know, because I've spent countless hours looking at tools and trying to figure out like, how can I actually make it better?
You hit the nail on the head right there. You're spending countless hours looking for the answers that somebody's already figured out for
you. Yeah.
And it's like every problem in the world's already been solved by somebody else.
Yeah.
And so if and I look back, I mean, my God, from 2008 to 2014 is probably 10,000 plus hours that I spent trying to figure out problems that other people had already solved. And so once you just said, raise your hand and say, I could use some help, and we kind of know each other through a mutual connection, you'll be amazed at how many people raise their hand and say, I'd be glad to help you. Because the reality is, I remember what it's like. And I remember how crappy it felt not to have that thing. I love helping people. You know, my buddy Mitch Miller, like, he remembers what it feels like to sit on a bench eating dried rice and ketchup, you know, because it just got to this place where he found himself homeless, you know, in this journey. And so those people have a place in their heart to want to give back after they cross over the other side. It's as simple as get clear on what you want and ask for help.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's been a good conversation. I've taken a lot of value out of it, as I usually do on these episodes. So coming out of this though, I mean, we did cover quite a bit. What would be that one piece of advice that you would suggest the audience take action on to really help them out?
I would say I'm going to give two things. One is kind of the generic version, which is get clear on what you want, find somebody that's already done it, and ask for help, work for them for free, ask for mentorship, pay them as a coach, surround yourself with them, and model their habits and behaviors. It's the fastest path. In today's environment, I'm finding there's a lot of BS in the marketplace these days, and people are always trying to automate this advertisement to funnel to their free mini course or whatever it is. And the solution right now is help more people. I mean, it's almost always the solution, but pick up the phone and ask people, how are you doing? Number one, mentally. A lot of people are mentally unstable right now because their pattern just got interrupted. But how are you doing? Is there anything you need that I can help with? And then you just solve that problem. And what I would say is solve the problem with relationships you like, know, and trust that problem solver is going to fix the problem for that person. Let's say it is growing your podcast. And if I refer Zach to you, I should get compensated a little bit of affiliate income, you know? And so people could just call up people all day direct and just say, is there anything you need right now? Anything I can help you with? That's going to break down their call reluctance because they're doing something for others. And so why would I have reluctance about helping other people?
Right.
Then when I refer other business deals or somebody refers a website to me or whatever, it's okay to get compensated for that referral. You're shortcutting the time that person takes to figure it out on their own.
Yeah. I really like that second piece of advice there. That really, I think that would help a lot of people just shift. It's just really a shift of mindset, right? Versus being somebody who's selling, just approach it as somebody who's looking to help. That's it. That's all you're doing.
And to do it from the right place, if you're going to use that strategy, it's got to be with the right heart and from the right place.
Right.
If you're doing it because you want to sell your products and services, we all want to do that. But if you go into the conversation that way, human beings, because of neuroendocrine reactivity, which is our sixth sense, we quickly spot that stuff out. And we're like, this guy just wants to sell me something.
Right.
And it actually pisses us off and offends us at the same time. We're just like, he didn't call because he cared how I was doing and wanted to solve a problem. He actually just wanted to sell me his website or whatever.
Yeah, because it's deceitful and we don't like that.
So if you do it from the right place and you're just like, I want to see how you're doing, if there's anything I can help with, and you genuinely do it, like another book for your audience, Fanatical Prospecting by Jeb Blunt.
Yeah.
It's a fabulous book. If you do it from the right place, all the business opportunities in the world emerge from there. I was prospecting the other day, ran across a gentleman that was on my podcast and just said, how you doing? And he said, you know, I'm locked down in San Francisco. I think I'm going to use this time to restructure my brand and my brand strategy, and I could use some help. So he turned into a client, but I was genuinely just asking him how he was doing, you know, because I didn't know what problem he was currently having. Yeah. He's the one that basically said, I think I can use your help right now. So,
yeah, I like that. So where can people find you? I'm sure you've got tons of resources with all the money you've spent in the years of learning. I'm sure there's a bunch of stuff on your website where people could learn even more about you and what you have to offer.
Yeah, people can find me at themakeovermaster.com, themakeovermaster.com. And we do have resources. We do complimentary social media and website reviews for people to find out if their business isn't working, where is it stuck, what are gaps that we see. And they can find me there. All our resources are there. And then I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Perfect. I'll make sure all that's in the show notes.
Cool, Chris.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike. That was a good conversation. I really appreciate it. And definitely feel like we could have some further conversations.
We could probably go for hours, but yeah. You know, your kids are in the back. My kids are in the back. Yeah. Coronavirus.
Yeah. So, there's a lot going on right now.
It's fun. Reach out if you need anything, man.
Will do. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for listening to the Get Coach podcast. If you're looking for more information, you can head over to our website, which is getcoachedpodcast.com. You'll find the show notes for this and every other episode there. And if getting actionable advice every week from professional coaches is something you want more of, then make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes.